Congregation, friends, have you had those times in your life that God feels distant? It seems that God is not working. When you look to your children, maybe children that one time were here in church, and it seems they are wandering in this world. Maybe you are discouraged, that you begin to learn the language of the psalmist: will the Lord cast off forever? Will he leave us for good? Does his promise fail forevermore? It can be. When the Lord had given you a promise through his word to you, a promise that had maybe strengthened you in the past, a promise that you have pleaded upon many times. Promise, for example, parents, that the Lord says in his word, and all you children shall be taught by the Lord. I said, Lord, here it is. But it seems God is not working. God feels distant. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Maybe there were times that you could sing of the mercies of the Lord, but now you seek direction. Seems no one hears. Begin to understand the language of the psalmist. Eh? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Is his loving kindness vanished forever? And you come to church, but it is different than before. And this feeling of lukewarm or maybe even indifferent or distracted. That can be questions in life. It can be a season in life. In your life, that is a spiritual drought. Now, it is tempting, of course, that I could give a whole list of reasons for that. Why there is a spiritual drought in your life, or why you have those times that God feels distant. It's very tempting to give you a list, but you know, when you go through a time like that, when it feels like the Lord does not hear your prayers, it seems that he does not see your pain or frustration, it seems that the Lord feels distant, refusing or to remove your struggles or change your circumstances in life. And sometimes we come at a place that we even do not know what to pray anymore. And scripture, when you open your Bible, it seems empty of its meaning. Friends, in summary, God is missing. So it seems. And that precisely is what's going on in this psalm that we have read together, Psalm 63. Experiencing a missing of God's presence. And friends, a missing of his presence is a wilderness experience. And therefore, where are you this evening in life? At times in your life that you came to this sanctuary, to church, seeing the Lord at work, his power and his glory, Psalm 63, verse 2. Or with the psalmist of 66, come and see the works of God, make a joyful noise unto God, praise and sing on him. But now, you say, O God, I am in a dry and thirsty land. And I don't have to explain what that is when I look around here in this part of the country, if there is no rain and dry and thirsty land. At those times that you go through the motions, and church life is not experienced as it was before, and it seems that the Lord does not know your need, and sermons, it seems they do not touch you. Look, moralism and legalism read this Psalm 63 as follows. Eh? I seek the Lord, I thirst for him, I long for him, I bless him, I remember him, I rejoice in him, I, what I must do, and then I experience his love and his help. But friends, don't forget, the gospel of this night is because of thy loving kindness, verse 3. As I have seen in the sanctuary, that is remembered, even in the wilderness, the sanctuary, his presence is remembered, even in times of spiritual dryness and the wilderness of life. Because of thy loving kindness, because thou hast been my help, verse 7, and therefore I will rejoice, and therefore early will I seek thee, and therefore my soul longs for thee and thirsts for thee. Congregation, when you cannot deny the Lord's work in your life, and when you miss his presence, it is a wilderness, is it not? And wilderness is an experience like an uninhabited or inhospitable place, a place of seemingly disfavor, a place of neglect or abandonment. But friends, it is also a place that removes the distractions of life. The wilderness is a place which tests the heart. I mean a spiritual wilderness. Eh? Psalm 61. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed and it seems no one, even God, does not hear. Or Psalm 62, my soul waits, longs for God, but it seems the wait is so long. Or as we experience in Psalm 63, I am in a dry and thirsty land and no water, and your soul longs for the living water, for Christ. When was it the last time? Where are you this evening? How is your life, young people? Is it seemingly in a holding pattern, like a plane approaching an busy airport and circle and circle? Or more personal, it seems that you have come used to spiritual dryness in your life. How is your spiritual life, young people? If there is spiritual life. Verse 11. The mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. That is, outwardly you go to church, but no need of Christ. In fact, your life is a lie. It shall be stopped sooner or later. But how is your spiritual life? Congregation, where you cannot deny by grace, O God, thou art my God. But that were other times. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want briefly meditate on this brief psalm, 11 verses, tonight, so that each of us, regardless where you are in life, regardless whatever you have brought into church this evening, regardless of what is going on in your life, I don't know. The Lord knows. So that each of us may leave this place for this new week, and that we truly may testify, O God, thou art my God, because of thy loving kindness, and because thou hast been my help. For in contemporary language, young people, O God, you are my God, because of your steadfast love, because you have been my help. So in the first place then, his loving kindness. His loving kindness. Three aspects. What is his loving kindness? Why is his loving kindness? And how his loving kindness ought to transform us. In the first place, his loving kindness. What it is, why it is, and how his loving kindness ought to transform us. Congregation, the word used here in this psalm, loving kindness, in the original, is the word gesed. That's the only Hebrew word that you will hear from me tonight. But gesed, that speaks of God's character, who he is. Loving kindness is unfailing love, steadfast love, favor, faithful love, gracious love, goodness, kindness. In general, it is an attending to the needs of his creatures, you and me, us. And what we confess sometimes with the words of the Apostles' Creed when we read it, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, which meaning is confessed with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, that is his almighty and ever-present power, whereby by his hand he still upholds us, heaven and earth and all creatures, so you and me, so that he governs them, leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and, yes, barren years, those times in your life that it seems that God is so distant, desert, wilderness, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poor. Indeed, all things come not by chance, so we confess, but by his fatherly hand. That is his loving kindness to you and me. Undeserved. And the Lord attests in Micah that he delights in loving kindness. Who is a God like unto thee, who pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retained not his anger forever, because he delights in gesed, in kindness, in mercy. Or with the words of Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord, for, and that is who he is, with the Lord there is mercy, gesed, and with him is plenteous redemption. Friends, the loving kindness of the Lord is abundant, is good, is great in extent, is everlasting. Does not the psalmist attest in Psalm 86 that it is abundant, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. He has neither dealt with us nor rewarded us according to our sin. Abundant in loving kindness. Do you see? His loving kindness is good. The psalmist attested in 109. O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Psalm 33, it is great in extent. The earth is full of the gesed, of the goodness of the Lord. And last not but least, his loving kindness is everlasting. Does not the psalmist says, and sings of it in Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let them that fear the Lord, also tonight, and you cannot deny that by grace, that his mercy endures forever. This congregation is the loving kindness of the Lord, who he is, and for whom? For a people like you and me, by nature, fallen people, sinners. And friends, I'm not talking in general terms here, but sinner before God. And still his loving kindness, his general care, concern for each of us, that he walks after you, that he provides for you, that he cares for you in every way for every need. Congregation, pause for a moment this evening and see for the first time or anew the loving kindness of the Lord, undeserved, to you. But more, his loving kindness is especially shown in the work of salvation, and by sending his only and beloved Son Christ to the world, to you also this night. Redemption and deliverance from your sin, when you have been encountered, when you have encountered your sin by grace in your life. Maybe those times that you have pleaded with the Lord with Psalm 25. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression, according to thy mercy, to thy chesed. Remember thou for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Did you ever pray this? Is it not? Loving kindness is making one from death to life and keeping alive. Psalm 119, revive me according to thy loving kindness. He draws to himself through his loving kindness with cords of love. Friends, we did not deserve anything, and yet he shows his mercy, his loving kindness to thousands. As we have read this morning out of Exodus 20 and Sunday after Sunday, that it is his loving kindness that he brought you to church this night, and that he reminds us through his word who he is and wants to be for sinners such as you and me, and who he will be for each of his children. And why is that? Because there is anything in us, any merit, that you deserve his kindness? Because I seek him early, speaking with the words of the psalmist, because I thirst, I long for him, because I remember him, meditate on him, verse 6. That is what moralism and legalism do. If I seek him and long for him, then I experience his love of kindness. Or, you need to seek him earnestly. If you really long for him, only then maybe you experience his steadfast love. But congregation, how much is earnestly? And what is enough? Friends, the good and gracious gospel this evening is what the poet of old said, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law demands. Have you learned that? Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law demands. Could my zeal know despite? No. Could my tears forever flow? All could never sin erase. Thou must save, and save by grace. Nothing in my hands I bring. but the cross. Oh, friends, that is where God's loving kindness is most displayed. In Christ on the cross, who called out, "I thirst," so that you can thirst after him. And echo the words of Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And therefore it is he, also tonight, even now, who invites, "If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink." Then it was Christ who was given vinegar, so that you, being in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so that you can receive the living water, Christ, who invites again, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And he says to you, no, to everyone that thirsted, "Come ye to the waters." Then it is Christ whose body, his flesh was broken, so that your flesh can long for him, even when you have to say, "My heart and my flesh fails, but oh wonder of grace." And that only and because of Christ, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Then it is Christ on the cross, whose soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, so that your soul can thirst after him, even when you have to say at times and experience, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" But because of Christ, O tell, address your struggling soul, hope in God. He is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, friends, then it is Christ who left a place of glory, so that you may see his glory first too, so that you can leave this place and leave church again and say, "We have seen Jesus in the wilderness and have experienced the words of Hosea. I, says the Lord, will allure her and bring her into the wilderness." And there, there in the wilderness, "I will speak comfortably unto her." Should Christ, who he is, for such one as you are, what he has accomplished, what you and I never could and can do, ought he not to transform us, to seek him early, to thirst after him again, and to long for him because of his loving kindness? O congregation, to whom else shall you then go? Whatever you have brought into church, whatever your condition is, also right now tonight, when you are in a dry and thirsty land, maybe in the wilderness of life, here is one, Christ himself, Christ who urges you kindly, graciously, generously, come. And let the one who hears says, "Come," and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, do you hear? No one excluded. And whosoever, let him take the water of life freely. Oh God, thou art my God, because of his loving kindness in Christ. Oh friends, is it not humbling? Is it not hopeful? Even in the wilderness of life, that you can sing, "Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee." And to learn by grace more and more that the wilderness is sometimes God's way to wean us from the most precious things in this world and to rest in him. And to lean on him and him alone. Our second thought, O God, you are my God because of his help. And again, three aspects. What is his help? Why it is? And how his help ought to transform us. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help. And what does mean by help? Well, that points to that we have to be assisted by someone else, to be supported by another. It shows us our needs, our helplessness, that we are vulnerable, our weakness, that we are in need of another. When the cry is in the heart, when the cry is in your heart, that experience of the psalmist is your experience. Psalm 22, why art thou so far from helping me? That can be a wilderness experience, and it seems no one is there to help. First, Psalm 27, hide not thy face from me. You long for his presence. And when you see one's face, you are in his or her presence. And the heart cries out, hide not thy face from me. Thou art my helper. Psalm 30, hear me, O Lord, have mercy. Be thou my helper. Psalm 38, make haste, help me, O Lord. Psalm 40, maybe the cry of the heart, think upon me, thou art my help and my deliverer. Congregation, why is that cry? Why do you have those cries? When you have those cries, is it not the echo of Christ's word applied to your heart by the work of the Spirit because of Christ? When he was on the cross and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? When he truly experienced, and there is none to help, so that you may experience his help and his presence, a very present help in trouble. Oh, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Jacob's, those in need. He is their help. He is your shield. He is your help. That is sure and certain. Maybe you have to be reminded tonight. Because note, even in the wilderness of life, the psalmist remembers that the Lord has been his help. Verse 6, I remember. Verse 7, thou hast been my help. There's something he remembers from the past. Verse 2, I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Maybe you recognize this. You lay in bed in the evening and you meditate and you think things over and you reflect. In times when you think, experience, where is God in all of this? And you even lay awake at night, is the experience of the psalmist, verse 6. Missing God's presence. And you travel the memory lane. And yes, you cannot deny the Lord's work in your life, but that was something of the past. You cannot deny that there were times when you were seeking him and thirst after him and longed for him. But if I would now ask tonight, just between your soul and the Lord, has he been your help? When you cry to him in distress, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Did he not answer you? When looking back in your life, and you may say, despite who I am before him and ought to be, can you not testify this evening? He has never left me, never forsaken me. This I may say, by grace, the Lord is my helper. Has he not been your help? When you experienced the cry of the heart, I am a poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me, thou art my help. O friends, to whom else shall you then go in a dry and thirsty land? In verse 8, thy right hand upholds me. That is his help. That is your only hope and help. He upholds me, sustains you, carries you, even now. And therefore his promise, fear not then, says the Lord, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. O God, thou art my God. Will you not join the psalmist? Humbling, is it not? In the midst of the wilderness, maybe you have come to church with all your cares, and maybe there are marriage challenges and anxiety in your young life, or the concerns that you have for the remainder of the week. And you came this evening, and honestly, when life is overwhelming, you are not seeking and not longing and not thirsting for him. And then to hear from the living word, from the living God to you, I help you, seek me while I may be found. I uphold you so that you will long after me again. So that you can say, refresh, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. And thy word is my delight. Then this Savior, this substitute, this living Christ proclaims to you, I am the living water, so that you thirst not after the things of this here and now and this world, but after me again. O God, you are my God, and therefore I will seek him early in the morning. Young people, practically, set time aside in the morning for your devotions and prayer. Seeking him. That is different than picking up your phone and checking your messages first thing in the morning. And I think I'm not speaking only to our young people. And when Martin Luther knew that he had a very busy day ahead of time, he prayed 1 hour longer. Congregation, how are we doing? And I start here. Spend time in scripture. Hey, young people, when you want to know someone better, you want to be in his or her presence. And so it is with the Lord. He will meet you through his word. Meeting him in scripture so that you are more acquainted with him. Personally, to get to know him more through his word and work, and getting to know yourself more, so that your need of him is more and more. And congregation, it is very personal this night, eh? As our text said, my God. My God. Pause for a moment. And realize his word. My God. My creator of the universe. For whom nothing is too small or too little. Is great and awesome God. Is my God. In Christ, my Redeemer. My God, that is to experience at times, he is my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. That is his offer to you this night, regardless where you are in life. I want to be your God, says the Lord, because of my loving kindness in Christ, because of his help for Christ's sake. He is present. And you may experience his presence even now, where he meets you even in seasons of spiritual dryness, and he lifts you up to his living water and to his loving kindness, to his gesed and help. That is his grace, that is his mercy, and that is his favor towards you for Christ's sake. Congregation, then you begin to see the gripping reality and seriousness of the verses 9 to 12, 11. But those that seek my soul, This is not only for the psalmist, maybe in your life as well, enemies, inside and outside. But ultimately, they are God's enemies, those who resist Christ, those who want to be their own God, don't need him, don't seek him, don't thirst for him, while he in his loving kindness and help reach out to them. They, says the psalmist, the living word, the living God says, they shall go into the lower parts of the earth, they shall fall. In the mouth of them that speaks lies, that are hypocrites, they shall be stopped. Where are you in life? Young people, where are you in life? There are only two kinds of people in this world. Here in Northwest Iowa, in Hull, Sucent, or wherever you come from. Or you are humble to repentance by his loving kindness and help, and you say, or you sigh by grace, oh God, thou art my God. You cannot miss him anymore. And you experience in his presence is fullness of joy. And experience in him is a total satisfaction in his Father. It is a feasting, says verse 5. Or, and that's your decide, or you are still your own God, and you have no need of him. Oh, again, I urge you, as an ambassador of this loving and helping Christ, this Savior who's given himself freely, turn to him now. Don't delay. Don't, you know, to despise the riches of his goodness and the forbearance of his long suffering. Do you not know that it is the goodness of God, his loving kindness and help, leads you to repentance? Oh, to learn more and experience his loving and kind grace. As Horatius Bonar once wrote, not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can my soul true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart and stills the tossed and tempest heart. O God, thou art my God. And therefore, will the Lord cast off forever? No. No. Does his promise fail forevermore? Never. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Friends, he is more than gracious because of thy loving kindness. And therefore, when I see it again, my lips shall praise thee, because thou hast been my help. And therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, that is his protection. Also for this new week, I will rejoice. And that is here sometimes in the beginning. And sometimes it is with faltering words. But then forever and ever. And it is through him alone, whose presence goes before us. And that for Christ's sake.